Hey everyone, welcome to another episode on Aspiring Doctors Podcast. Today we're going to dive into the field of neuroscience and interview a neurosurgeon.
Aspiring Doctors is a platform dedicated to providing individuals with opportunities to learn more about medical careers despite the COVID-19 pandemic.
Okay, so can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Alex Schuper. I am a second year neurosurgery resident. Mount Sinai in New York City.
How did you become interested in becoming a neurosurgeon?
So it actually started when I was in high school, and one of my good friend's fathers tragically passed away from a glioblastoma, and it had a large effect on my life and obviously my friend's life. And I was perplexed by how quickly glioblastoma really took his life and changed his life. And from there, I began to study brain tumors in the neurosciences, and I ended up doing research that summer at the University of Pennsylvania, where I worked in the neurosurgery department, and really became interested in neurosurgery from there. Began to learn a lot more, and then when it came time to deciding where I would go to college, I focused on colleges that had a strong undergraduate neuroscience program, and so I ended up choosing Johns Hopkins and was exposed further to neurosurgery and the neurosciences in general, and really discovered that I had a passion for the field and could really only see myself going into that specialty. And I really knew going into medical school that I was interested in neurosurgery.
Okay. What education did you complete in order to launch your career as a neurosurgeon?
So similar to other subspecialties in medicine, you have to complete your undergraduate education, whether it's a bachelor's in arts or science, or wherever your degree might be in. After that, you have to complete 4 years of medical school. In neurosurgery, people often take time off, either before or during medical school, to spend more time conducting research because it's a very research-heavy field. And then at the end of medical school, you match into a neurosurgery residency program where you begin your training as a neurosurgeon. And now, at least in the United States, all training programs are 7 years.
Okay. What are the responsibilities of a neurosurgeon?
So of a fully trained neurosurgeon, you're responsible for neurological diseases and disorders that require surgical interventions. That can be anything from diseases or disorders of the brain, of the spine, of the peripheral nerves. And it is primarily driven around interventions, either surgical and being in the operating room, or procedural, such as in the endovascular or angiography suite. And so, yeah, that's generally the responsibility of the neurosurgeon. We also treat neurocritical care patients, often patients that have neurosurgical needs. Yeah, we run the gamut as far as patients who require any type of intervention who have an underlying neurological disorder.
Makes sense. Next question. What does your day look like as a neurosurgeon? And you're currently a resident, but still giving an answer of what you expect your day to look like would be fine.
Sure. So regardless of if you're a resident or a fully trained neurosurgeon, typically you wake up pretty early in the morning, you round on your patients in the morning, see how things went over the prior night, and you want to make sure that you've seen all of your patients and come up with your plans for the day before you start your first case, because when you're in the operating room, it's often hard to make these minute-by-minute decisions when you're scrubbed into a case. You often spend most of your day in the operating room performing surgeries. If you're not in the operating room, you're probably in clinic seeing patients or participating in various academic or admin roles, such as conducting research, writing papers, writing grants, or any type of administrative duties that you might have. But primarily, the majority of your time will be spent performing surgeries.
Okay. What is the most rewarding aspect of your career so far?
But it's definitely the patients. By and large, we deal with very fragile patients who are often in some of their worst moments in life, whether they've recently been diagnosed with a brain tumor or have a really bad case of epilepsy or a seizure disorder where it's totally taken their life in a different direction. And we're given incredible responsibility of being able to change the course of that patient's life. And so we often see people in truly debilitated states, whether they have a horrible spinal pathology that's precluding their ability to walk or to feel their legs or their arms, or a intracranial pathology where it can affect everything from their ability to speak or to move or to think normally. And we're able to perform interventions that can drastically make a difference in how the patient is doing from a neurological standpoint, and also to change their life in terms of their survival and their quality of life. So this is definitely the most rewarding aspect. It's an incredible responsibility, but it's very gratifying to be in that role and to be able to really help people's lives and to impact them in a great way.
Okay. What is the most difficult aspect of your career?
I think on one hand, how it can be incredibly rewarding to be faced with some of these challenges. I think neurosurgery as a whole is an incredibly humbling field. It can be incredibly demanding working in the brain and the spinal cord. It's very unforgiving territory, if you will. And you can do the perfect surgery and do everything exactly how you planned it and how the textbook said you should do it, and the patient can wake up with a deficit, or the patient can have a complication that can be devastating. And it's not always in your hands. And I think for surgeons who tend to be very type A, that can be a really difficult thing to manage, to know that you've done everything right and things still don't go your way. And in terms of neurosurgery, that can mean life or death for the patient. So that can be really difficult. And it takes a long time to be able to really deal with those situations emotionally and physically, and to be there for your patients in the supporting role that they require.
Okay, so I know you mentioned that conducting research is a huge portion of your career. So if you can, what are some research that you conducted? And if not in the field of neuroscience, is there any other field that you conducted research in?
So I have conducted research in various subspecialties within neurosurgery, specifically neurosurgical oncology, spinal deformity, degenerative spine, pediatrics, epilepsy. I've also participated in research outside of neurosurgery. These fields include ear, nose, throat, or otolaryngology and skull-based surgery, which definitely overlaps with neurosurgery. I've also participated in orthopedics research as well as trauma and critical care surgery research as well, mostly during college and also partly during medical school.
That's very interesting. Next question, how has COVID-19 impacted your career as a neurosurgeon?
COVID definitely impacted the second half of my intern year. I was working actually initially at Elmhurst Hospital, which people now know is one of the hospitals that was hit very hard in the beginning of the pandemic. And it definitely impacted my training, as rather than just go about my daily schedule as a neurosurgeon, all of our roles got changed. We were working in ICUs and taking care of COVID patients. And we had to learn many skills that we didn't anticipate learning, such as certain critical care lessons, like being able to manage patients on a ventilator, as we were managing ICUs without an ICU attending present, as they had to tend toward the COVID patients who are much sicker. And we essentially had to learn how to become intensivists, how to become neurologists, and different specialists that weren't necessarily the specialty that we went into, but I think it brought up the bigger lesson for us that before we're a neurosurgeon, we are doctors and we are healers. And regardless of the role that's asked upon us, that we have to step up to the occasion in a circumstance like COVID.
Okay, last question. What advice do you have to high school and college students who are interested in neuroscience / becoming a neurosurgeon?
High school and college students who are interested in the neurosciences or even potentially to want to go into neurosurgery, I highly recommend getting involved early. You can definitely, even as a high school student, start participating in neuroscience research. I was able to when I was a junior in high school. There are opportunities out there. You just have to be flexible and you have to reach out and not be scared to send a bunch of emails and cold call some people. But I highly recommend just getting exposure. There's no substitution for firsthand experience. And you take classes. If there are no classes at your high school, then when you get to college, I highly recommend studying neuroscience classes or obtaining a neuroscience major. Or if you're looking at colleges, look for a college who offers neuroscience classes. It's a great way to get exposed. And that's how I did it when I went to college. It was how I really learned and was forced to learn on a daily basis about the brain and about the nervous system. And that's what led me to coming down this track. So definitely get involved and don't be scared to get your feet wet. And to, regardless of what stage you're at, there's always a capacity for learning. And whether it's more direct or less directed, there are always ways to engage in the neurosciences. It's such a big growing field. And there are always opportunities for you, regardless of what stage you are in your education.
All right, everyone, that concludes today's episode on neuroscience and the career of a neurosurgeon. Make sure to check out more of Aspiring Doctors' social media and website to learn more about the organization, as well as ways to get involved within the medical field from your high school career.